In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. I would like to begin by congratulating you on the Feast of Pentecost. And this feast is one of the major celebrations and feasts in the Coptic Church. Maybe I will begin by asking for a volunteer from one of our children who doesn't mind getting involved here in the sermon and being a little bit embarrassed in front of everyone. But not so much, I promise. You like to volunteer? Okay, come, please. Okay, Kiro. You like to play games, Kiro?
Yes.
Okay, what kind of games do you like to play?
Hockey.
Any other favorite sports or games?
Soccer.
Okay, you're an athlete. Very good. Okay, what other games do you like to play? Sports. Okay, baseball. How about indoor games? Like when you're sitting at home, what's your favorite game? Video games. Okay, let's say you are in a birthday celebration and everyone is happy. What do they bring out so that everyone could have fun? Okay, let me ask you a direct question. Do you like to play with balloons? Or you're way beyond that stage now in your life? You like to or no? Not balloons? You don't like balloons? You just ruined my whole ceremony now. How can I thought we'd have some fun and play with some balloons. Okay, let's pretend that you like to play with balloons. Just for the sake of today's discussion, okay? I'm going to give you a nice balloon to play with. Are you ready? Okay. Here you go. Go ahead. Just bounce it up and down. Have fun with it. Just, huh? Blow it? No, it's good like that. Just try to play with it. Very good. Excellent. Isn't that fun? Now you like to play with balloons? A bit? You're going along with me, right? Okay, good. I like it when you do that. What's the best way to play with this balloon? To leave it inflated like that, deflated? What do you like to... What's the best way to play with the balloon?
Blow
in it and then after we can play. Okay, let's try to just hold this for me. Let's see. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's try that. Now you can try to play with it. See if that's a little bit more fun. Is it good?
Yeah, it's fun.
Now it's fun? So you would like to play with balloons from now on?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the difference between this one and that one? Why didn't you have a lot of fun with this one? Hold this in your hand. And this one. What's the difference between these two? Okay, one is bigger, one is smaller. Good observation. What else? This one you can play a lot of games and this one not so much. Very good. What else? This one is fun, this one is not fun. Okay. So let me ask you the question now. A balloon is made to do what with it? What's the purpose of a balloon?
It's a decoration.
It's a decoration. And if someone wanted to have fun with it, what should it be like, this way or that way? It should be filled, let's say the key word here, what's inside the balloon? It should be filled with air in order to fulfill its purpose. Is this a hard sentence for you? Do you understand it? So a balloon should be, say it, a balloon should be filled in order to fulfill its purpose that it was made for. It's a hard sentence, but do you agree with me? You understand what it is? Okay, thank you so much. Kiru, you have been a good sport. We'll give him a good hand. You can keep them, but how about we keep them on the stage so we don't play with them in the middle of the liturgy? So, what Kiru just demonstrated for us today, that if we wanted to play with a balloon, it should be filled with air. That's the purpose of it. And this word filled, the word filled, is repeated twice in the first four verses of the reading of the book of Acts today as we celebrate the feast of Pentecost. Let's see what the scriptures say to us. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, then they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, there are no words written in the Holy Scriptures haphazardly or just to fill some space on some white pages. Every word in the Holy Scriptures has a meaning and has a purpose. What is the opposite of being filled? Is being empty. And this was the state of humanity, being empty. There was no relationship with the Creator. This relationship was broken. And the Lord Jesus came in order to unify or to reunite humanity with the Creator. Through His death and His resurrection, He reconciled us with the Father. But still there was something missing. We needed to be filled again with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breathed into us life once more and gave us guidance and direction on what we should and we shouldn't do. He will teach you all things. I remind you of all the things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is the true fellowship. This is the filling that the Holy Spirit will give to each and every one of us. We were more or less like this empty balloon. But the Lord came and sent us His Holy Spirit today in order that we may be filled once more. The Spirit of God was present ever since eternity. And we have an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God since Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The word Ruach in the Hebrew language is translated in three meanings. It could mean spirit, it also means breath, and it also means wind. But when it says the Spirit of God, this is a spirit in a capital letter, it refers to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that is unlike any other spirits. It's not just a wind or not just a breath, but He is the Holy Spirit, part of the Holy Trinity, the God that we worship. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was alive in the people, but only temporary. God would visit the people with His Holy Spirit, but if someone was not righteous, the Holy Spirit departed from him. As we read in the story of the anointing of Saul, and how the Holy Spirit departed from him when he was not a righteous man. And also we saw in the anointing of King David how the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was filled. But the Holy Spirit didn't have a home in human beings. He would come and he would leave. But in the New Testament, we now have a home for the Spirit of God in our hearts. Don't you know that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit abides in you? Also in the book of Acts, or otherwise called the book of the Holy Spirit or the acts of the Spirit. We saw that the Spirit of God was alive and active. And when Hananiah and Sapphira wanted to lie to the Spirit, they were punished by God. And they immediately fell down and died in Acts chapter 5. But Peter said, Hananiah, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land? The Spirit of God will also active in choosing the servants. In the book of Acts chapter 13 verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Today the Holy Spirit of God teaches and reminds us and directs us to walk in the righteous path. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Spirit of God today gives us hope and gives us power. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit in Romans 15:13. And St. Paul also tells us that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Realizing the Holy Trinity is not a human endeavor. It's not something that we can discuss together and I can convince you, or you can convince me, or anyone could convince us otherwise. But the Word of God tells us that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We have to ask ourselves, what is our position from our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God? There are five conditions that could affect us in terms of our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, we can blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, as mentioned in Mark 3:29, but he who blasphemes against this Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. And as His Holiness Pope Shenouda said, blaspheming against the Spirit doesn't mean that I say a bad word about the Spirit, but it is actually denying the work of the Holy Spirit my entire life until my deathbed and not asking and seeking forgiveness. So this is the farthest condition concerning this, our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We could be blaspheming the Spirit, meaning denying His work in us. Secondly, which is a little bit better but still not a good condition, is to quench the Spirit. As mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. Meaning that there is a voice of the Spirit that is in our ears to do works of righteousness, to live according to the Holy Commandments, to be a part of the Holy Community of God, to partake of the Holy Mysteries and Sacraments. But I'm saying tomorrow, next week, next season, next year, I'm quenching the Spirit, meaning I'm just putting it down. I'm not blaspheming against the Spirit. I'm not against God. I'm not against the Church. But all I'm doing is that I'm just delaying until another time. The third state could be to resist the Spirit. Acts 7:51 says, You always resist the Holy Spirit. And these are the times that God is trying to visit me with His compassion and I hear His word. But I have so many doubts, like the seeds that fell on thorny ground and everything came around it and immediately it withered away. It didn't have a chance for life, unfortunately. Number one, to blaspheme. Number two, to quench. Number three, to resist. Number four is to start to accept or revive the Holy Spirit in me. To receive the Holy Spirit in me. As mentioned in John 20:22, when the Lord said to disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. And this is the day that I start to open my eyes and my heart to accept the Spirit of God, to accept His teaching, and to make it a life-giving teaching that is very effective in my personal life. And finally, which is the state that we were speaking about when we blew this little balloon here, is to be filled with the Spirit. As the book of Acts tells us today, that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The temple of God is now filled, because we cannot function, we cannot have fun if it's just a deflated balloon. But we need to be filled with the Spirit, meaning we have to heed to the words of Christ. In the beginning of the book of Acts, St. Luke is writing and is saying, all that Jesus began first to do and then to teach. Doing and teaching, before we speak, we need to be filled first with the love of Christ that abounds in our hearts. My beloved, this feast that we are celebrating today is a special feast. It's a day when the whole church was united in Jerusalem. And this is why we wanted to all unite together today in one heart and one voice and in one prayer and in one accord. The Spirit gave so much diversity to the church. Each and everyone heard the teachings and the words that the apostles spoke in their own personal language. More than 15 different languages, which shows us that the Holy Spirit is universal. It is for all people from all nations and backgrounds and ethnicities and languages. The Holy Spirit is not confined only to one community or to one group of people, ethnicity, but the Holy Spirit is universal. And when we come together to praise, to worship, to celebrate, we are celebrating in this one unity, in the one Spirit of God that He gave us today. He gave each one utterance to speak in their own personal tongue and language. But the one thing is that they were all fully assembled together in one accord, meaning they have love and passion and forgiveness and acceptance for one another. Today, my beloved, the Holy Spirit wants to give us the fruit of the Spirit, which starts with love and joy and peace. This is how we know and realize that we are filled with the Spirit of God, when we have love for one another. We don't hold any grudges. Someone that I have been upset with for years, I can go back with a peaceful heart and say, I forgive you. I now have peace with my Creator and with my Savior, and I now want peace with my sister and my brother. We love Him because He first loved us. And thus the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, meaning always a beautiful smile, doesn't mean that we're not going to go through trials and tribulations. Definitely we'll go through many hardships as anyone else in the world. But how we receive these hardships in the Spirit of God, we will receive them with joy and understanding that this would be the means that we have a greater crown in heaven. And finally, peace that no one can take away from us. As Pope Kyrillos once said, do not let your peace in the hands of other people who are around you. No matter what happens around us, we have the peace of Christ and the confidence that we are on the way of righteousness and on our way to heaven to inherit the heavenly kingdom and the abode of the saints. These are all gifts of the Spirit. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Once we are filled with God's Spirit and have a personal and a loving relationship with Him, the whole world will open to us in a whole new spectacular way, a way that we have never seen it before. Let us celebrate today's feast in a spiritual manner, in a loving manner, and let us all be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and glory be to Him forever and ever. Amen.